Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The Journey Museum hosts its next learning forum today at 4 p.m. Mountain Time by welcoming author Brad Somm. His most recent book is called Black Elk Peak, A History. Coming up in hour two of In the Moment, we spend an hour talking about Nicholas Black Elk and his legacy and some new projects that are launching regarding Lakota language and music. But we're going to start hour one with Brad Somm. He joins us now live from SDPB's Black Hills studio in downtown Rapid City. Brad, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Give us a little bit of your background and where this idea came from to sort of look into some of the untold stories of Black Elk Peak.
So some 30 years ago, I worked summers while going to college. I worked summers at Custer State Park as a park ranger in the visitor center and doing evening educational programs in the campgrounds. And that's how I became familiar with the Black Hills, because I'm originally from Ohio, and first hiked Black Elk Peak back when it was then named Harney Peak. And over the years, I've always studied and researched and collected tidbits of information about the peak, ranging from natural history to the culture to just unique tidbits of information. And finally, it came to a point where there was no single source of information out there to learn about the peak and all these little events that occurred there. And so it just sort of evolved into it was time to write the book.
Huh. So how old are you when you first start becoming or working as a park ranger and interpreter in Custer State Park?
Yeah, that was during college when I was...
So early 20s, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, as a young, as a young man sort of trying to figure that out for the first time, that must have been quite a process where you go through the stage of, well, this is... You know, this is beautiful. This is more than I thought it was at first. Wow, there's a million stories here to be told. Tell us a little bit about that process of discovery that you had as a younger man.
Exactly. At first, it begins. I think as a, it began as a hike. Right. It's just something to hike, and then the hike is sort of rewarded with the incredible views of the hills. And as many people know, there's the fire tower. That's a obvious part of the hill of the peak as well. But then it slowly evolved into. All these other things, the spiritual significance to the Native Americans is just is a very special part of it as well. And then all these little tidbits that just evolved. I would be reading other books about the Black Hills and about fire towers or about history, and there would be little mentions that would be kind of a starting point that would kind of thread my way through to find these other facts.
Yeah. Give me some ideas of, you know, how the book is structured then. You have the geology and the history and the spirituality. That's a lot of material to sort of figure out how to put in a narrative that people can reference, but they can also, you know, read and enjoy.
Sure. It's short chapters that go through the complete history, including the name change, the significance of Black Elk. But then it goes through in brief sections and addresses all of these things that occurred in history that either impacted Black Elk Peak or that occurred directly on top of Black Elk Peak.
Let's hit some of those high points. Do you want to start with Black Elk himself?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Black Elk obviously had his great vision. He was at the peak. It's a very special place. It remains a special place. And with the name change, I think the opportunity presents itself to educate others, and it opens doors for others to learn about the significance of Black Elk and the exposure to the Native American culture.
When you first heard that that name change was in the process, what was one of your initial reactions?
I needed to do a lot more study.
Yeah.
I needed to learn about Black Elk, and I needed to learn more about the Native American culture. The book was well in development and was sitting at the publisher when the most recent name change
really?
was proposed, and so we slowed things down and
stopped the presses.
Exactly. And I did some research and started learning about as much as I could about Black Elk, and that led me to learning about the Native American culture. And so once the name change was formalized, then I was able to include that. And I think that just really opens a lot of doors for people to be exposed to that piece of the summit.
Right. So as an author, that could be a moment of you know, frustration, as all of a sudden a project that you thought was at one stage sort of goes back to the drawing board. But you really saw it as an opportunity, not only for yourself, but for your readers.
Absolutely. It was a great opportunity for me to be even more exposed to the Native American culture and to learn about Black Elk and all of the areas that Black Elk has influenced and the significance of that.
Let's talk about some of the other, you know, more recent history that has taken place there. Do you want to begin with Harney? Do you want to talk about Custer? Tell us a story that we might find in the book.
Sure. So one of the stories involves General Custer, and with General Custer, it's the interesting story is when he was here, he and a few fellows rode their horses towards Harney Peak. They wanted to take the summit and be at the top of the highest peak, and General Custer refused to get off of his horse and kept forcing his horse. But in the end, he never really reached the actual summit. And so that's an interesting part of General Custer.
Yeah. Did the horse make it back down then? Or
Yes, the horse was fine and came back down. But if you've seen pictures or have had the opportunity to hike, the actual summit of Black Elk Peak is strictly granite.
And you're not getting there on a horse.
Exactly. And in the early days, they would the first European explorers would put ladders. Build ladders out of trees to get to the summit. And now, for that last 50 feet of climb, there's a steel staircase there.
Interesting. When did it become Harney Peak? Do you know?
Yes. Yeah. The name Harney Peak, it was named Harney Peak originally by General Warren in 1857. It was not officially, it appeared on various maps and publications as Harney Peak or Harney's Peak since 1857, but it was official in 1906. That's when the Board of Geographic Names named it Harney Peak officially. Mm. And then that name obviously held until August 11th, 2016, when the name was changed to Black Elk Peak.
And who was, when we went through that name change, we had many conversations on this program about who Black Elk was and his legacy. And then we also talked about General Harney and some of the things that he did. And who was he as a person that it was at the time seemed relevant to have his name attached to the peak?
Right. So
at the time, you know, we have the advantage of history now, but.
Right. Black Elk was a significant spiritual leader who bridged multiple worlds from his experiences of living a nomadic life through living on a reservation to traveling through Europe with the Wild West show, to the things that he witnessed. Black Elk, in his great vision that was transported to Black Elk Peak and had his great vision there. And so the name change to Black Elk is significant, and it really gives us the opportunity to learn more and more about the Native American culture.
Mm. Give me an idea of some of the other, people who felt that it was important to hike to the top. You know, how much has that been part of the history of Black Elk Peak in the sense that there is a drive to make it to the summit?
Sure. There is something special about reaching the summit, and there's been a lot of different stories about people that have been drawn to hike to the highest point in the Black Hills. There's even some unique things that have occurred there. There was an entire Boy Scout troop who brought their musical instruments to the summit. They made the hike to the summit with their musical instruments, and they played as a band. And it was really interesting. Not only the physical effort of getting these instruments there, but then also they broadcast from the radio at the fire tower. They broadcast to the other Forest Service locations. And so there was actually a Boy Scout band that broadcast from the summit of Black Elk Peak.
Remarkable. If you're just tuning in, my guest, Brad Somm, his most recent book is called Black Elk Peak, A History. You can see him today at the Journey Museum at a learning forum, the latest event in their learning forum series. That starts at 4 p.m. Mountain Time. And are books available at that point, you know, at this lecture? Where are folks going to be able to buy the book?
Yes, the book is available at Journey Museum. It's also available at Prairie Edge, both in Rapid City. It's available throughout the Black Hills, and it's also available on Amazon.com and Arcadia Publishing.
Before I let you go, I want to hear a little bit about your journeys, because you're one of those authors who has a pretty interesting lifestyle right now. You're on the road. Tell us a little bit about how you live and work today.
Yes, so for the last 13 years, I lived in Kentucky, and I have recently sold my house, and I live and travel full-time in my RV now.
Is that changing who you are as a writer? Is that a different sort of path? Are you, I'm thinking a little Steinbeck Travels with Charlie. Are you going to do some journaling about the journey itself?
Absolutely. It gives me an opportunity to meet people, to reconnect with old friends, and also to explore all these local and regional cultures around the country. Mm-hmm. So I'm relatively new. I'm just a couple months into the full-time journey, and I look forward to continuing it. And as part of the journey, to ensure that it's not just about me, I'm also volunteering with Habitat for Humanity. They have a group of people that are RV caravanners who help local communities build houses. And so when a local Habitat affiliate needs some volunteers, they'll put the word out on the website, and about 10 RVers will show up. We'll camp there and help build the house for 2 weeks.
Hmm. I'm guessing that, you know, now that the book has been published and you do the work that you're going to do today to have conversations about the book and about the history, that people will come and tell you, you know, more stories about Black Elk Peak. And some of those stories will just be deeply personal about their own journey to the summit. What's that like for you as an author to sort of make that kind of connection with a reader who just wants to tell you their own story?
I enjoy hearing those stories, and it really I really connect with those because hiking to the summit is really special. And when I speak to people who have unique experiences and unique stories, it's so refreshing that the hike is more about not just limited to the physical hike to the summit, which at 7 miles round trip can be challenging. Mm-hmm. It's not just about a stone fire tower or just about the view, but it's about something else that they experienced that they may or may not fully understand.
The book is called Black Elk Peak, A History. My guest has been Brad Somm. You can see him today at the Journey Museum in Rapid City for the latest event in the Learning Forum series. Check him out at 4 p.m. Mountain Time. Books are available at the event. Brad, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Lori.
And thanks as well to our friends at the Black Hills Surgical Hospital for helping us bring you content from downtown Rapid City and the Black Hills of South Dakota.